Third case this morning, United States v. Sellers. Mr. Corning.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Counsel. Reed Corney appearing for Ron Sellers. As the Court is aware, the defendant has the burden of showing acceptance of responsibility by preponderance of evidence. And he does that by showing that he voluntarily terminated or withdrew from any criminal conduct or association. That's under 3E1.1, Note 1A. So the question is, what did Mr. Sellers do to meet that burden? And my argument is that he did meet that burden. Mr. Sellers showed that he was arrested on September 15, 2008. He had his arraignment on September 24th. And the next day, Mr. Sellers met with six law enforcement agents from Northern Wisconsin and the Division of Criminal Investigation to the Department of Justice, Wisconsin Department of Justice, and spent about 4 or 5 hours debriefing with them. He met with these individuals, or portions of these individuals, on several other occasions as well, continuing to debrief and to explain the drug conspiracy itself. In fact, he even testified at a grand jury hearing in April of 2009. But more importantly, besides just the fact that he began to cooperate basically from the beginning of this case, is the fact that he entered and made known to the court and to the U.S. Attorney's Office the day after the arraignment that he was not going to take this to trial. He entered a very early plea in this case, much earlier than his co-defendant did. Now, as the government will point out, and we will concede, there were some things that happened in the interim. A couple of days after he was arrested, he called his wife and told her to clear the books, or to contact one of his contacts in Nashville and clear the books. We don't know if that happened or not. But it's our position that, in fact, that actually helped the government and state agencies in their investigation of the criminal activities that were occurring in Nashville, because they still, the individual in Nashville and the individuals in Florida and Miami, still had faith that Mr. Sellers did not proper and was not cooperating. The other issue is the fight that occurred in early 2009 after he'd entered his plea in this case. Now, there's some facts that go into that as well. Mr. Sellers, during the course of this, had lost his wife. His wife had passed away. She had MS and was on a large amount of medications and overdosed on those medications and passed away. So he was under a lot of stress because of that and because of the placement of his three daughters, coupled with the fact that in his football days, he severely injured his knee and he blew his knee out again at Dane County Jail, and so was under a great deal of pain and was receiving Advil. So he was faced with a lot of stress in his life. Where were his daughters going to go? The pain in his knee, dealing with the loss of his wife, and he ended up getting in a fight in Dane County Jail. Now, Judge, the district court views these two things to say that he did not accept responsibility and therefore should not receive the burden of, or the benefit of that. Now, there's two ways of approaching acceptance responsibility. And one is you look at the case by case and the specific conduct, and if the conduct relates to the charged crime, then yeah, it shouldn't count. You shouldn't get accepting responsibility if you're continuing down that road. The other, and the, probably well, the one that is used by this court, and I would posit that I think this is the wrong approach, is that once one is to show that one is truly accepted responsibility in the case, they have to walk away from crime and criminal activity, period. Well, to say that a person has to show that they accept responsibility by turning away from criminal activity completely, and changing their disposition completely, I think, doesn't play out. Because we don't know what the future holds for these individuals. And in fact, it plays across the board, because there's plenty of individuals who continue to use drugs while they're on pretrial release, but they still get accepted to responsibility, even though they're continuing criminal activity. There's plenty of individuals who continue to lie to law enforcement during the course of investigations, and they still get accepted responsibility. And so I think this plays out not only – it plays out unfairly to many individuals who come in and cooperate from the beginning and are doing what they're supposed to do, and they have some other issues that come up but aren't related necessarily to their case. But it still takes away from their acceptance responsibility under the standards that this circuit provides.
What was the timing between when he called his wife and told her to warn Doyle?
He was arrested on the
meeting with the cops and telling them about Doyle.
He was arrested on the 15th of September. The call went out on the 20th of September. He was appointed counsel and had his arraignment, I believe, on the 24th and met with the agents the next day. So we're talking a very short window of time when that call was made. And then once that call was made, once he met with counsel, it was, you know what, I'm caught. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I help the government and that I can get the benefit of that. And that's the direction he went. What this really comes down to, and it's my position that acceptance responsibility really is a plea bargaining tool. As the court's well aware, that there's not much that's offered, particularly in the Western District of Wisconsin, when it comes to plea deals. About the only thing that you are offered oftentimes is the government's willingness to move for the 1 point and receive an acceptance responsibility. Well, in this case, Mr. Sellers clearly saved the court a great amount of time, and I will note that Judge Crabb at this point was the only Article III judge working in the Western District and was under a great deal of stress and pressure with her caseload. So he saved her a considerable amount of time. And he also saved the government a considerable amount of time because they knew that they did not have to prepare for trial, that this was a case that was going to plead out, that did plead out, and that he was helping them build cases to go after other individuals in Tennessee and in Florida. So Mr. Sellers stepped up and did what he needed to do to show that he accepted responsibility. Did some things happen that shouldn't have happened? Should he have been in a fight? No. Does that mean he didn't accept responsibility for the actions that he did? No. He did accept responsibility for what he did.
Was he charged with regard to this assault?
He was charged, yes, and there's sentencing scheduled for January 20th of 2009. So, and again, consequences will come from that as well. But the real, as I see it, the crux of this is, in these cases, is saving the court time and saving the attorney's time in preparing for court and for trial. And this is what happened in this case. And he helped the government. And everything he did was thrown us under because of this fight that was not related to anything of his criminal activity, and with the proposition that, well, this just shows that he has a criminal disposition and therefore shouldn't get accepted responsibility. Well, he should get accepted responsibility because he did everything that he needed to do to help the government and the courts. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Altman.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Elizabeth Altman, and I represent the United States in this case. The only question before this Court in this case today is whether or not Judge Crabb clearly erred when she denied Mr. Sellers a reduction for acceptance of responsibility. It's the government's position that she did not. The government rests primarily on its brief in this case because I think that covers the topic relatively well and completely, but I will go through a few highlights. As Mr. Cornea indicated, the defendant was arrested on September 15th of 2008 as he and a co-defendant returned to Wisconsin from Florida with over 500 grams of cocaine in his vehicle. 5 days later, from jail, he called his wife and directed her to call a middleman in Nashville and to tell this middleman to empty his bookcases. Now, he did eventually plead guilty, and a pre-sentence report was written. The probation officer, in writing the report, and the phone call is all she had at the time she wrote the report, determined that this call did not rise to the level of obstruction, but that it did show that he had not accepted responsibility because he had not voluntarily withdrawn from criminal conduct or associations as required in 3E1.1. The defendant objected to that, and
What did the phrase "empty your bookcases" mean?
Presumably, it meant to get rid of any drugs he had in his house. That would be my interpretation of it.
Well, records of sale.
Sure, scales, anything relating to him. I don't think he was telling him to get rid of novels.
Well, he could have been hiding something in the bookcases.
Sure, and it could have been anything.
What was the timing of her death versus the other incidents? When he met with the police, the fight, that sort of thing.
She died prior to him meeting with the police, I believe, and certainly he met with the police, she died, and then there was the jail fight, I believe, is the order that it occurred. And him meeting with police, it was a rather fluid activity. It happened a couple times, so I'm not exactly sure that each time was prior to her death, but he did begin his cooperation prior to her death.
And her death is, at least we understand it, was the combination of the multiple sclerosis and overdose of drugs.
That's my understanding, yes. So the probation officer recommends on the phone call alone no acceptance. It gets to be approximately a week before sentencing, and of course the defendant objected to that, and we proceeded towards sentencing. Approximately a week before sentencing, I believe, it was September 15th of 2009 is when it occurred. The defendant was in his fight in the jail. The addendum to the probation or to the PSR reflected that, pointed it out to the court, and again recommended that he not receive acceptance based on his continuing criminal activity. And in denying the reduction for acceptance, Judge Crabb found that both the phone call and the fight in the jail were criminal in nature and showed that he had not voluntarily withdrawn from his criminal conduct, which is one of the considerations under 3E1.1. The fact that it was a different type of crime from that which he was convicted doesn't matter. Did he plead guilty early? Absolutely. Did he begin cooperating? Absolutely. And if that cooperation pans out in the future, there is something to deal with that, and that can be dealt with through a Rule 35. The fact that he pleaded guilty early does not automatically entitle him to this reduction. Obviously, Judge Crabb knew that he was pleading guilty and knew that he had saved the court and all of the attorneys quite a bit of time, but she determined that the fact that he continued to engage in criminal activity both right after he was arrested and more concerningly, I believe she said, shortly before sentencing it continued, showed that he didn't accept responsibility, and there was absolutely no error in making that determination. The district court correctly denied the reduction, and I would respectfully request that this court affirm her determination.
Ms. Corney?
Just briefly, Your Honors. He clearly accepted responsibility in this case. And the argument that because he got in a fight in Dane County Jail with the individual 20 years younger does not diminish the fact that he accepted responsibility in this case. This is going to the argument that I think that where the judge erred, where she says he, because he got into a fight, is continuing to be a criminal. Well, fights occur all the time. And just because a fight occurs does not indicate criminal intent. There's many reasons behind fights. Are fights illegal? Yes. But fights happen for a plethora of reasons. And in this case, we're looking at an individual who was dealing with the loss of his children. Where were they going to go? Was it going to be North Carolina? Was it going to be Georgia? Was it going to be Florida? Dealing with the loss of his wife. Had a knee that was left him in excruciating pain and was basically isolated from any family. He had no family. And so a lot of stress led up to this fight. And because of that, I don't think that shows that he has a tendency for further criminal activity, and he should be given credit for the acceptance that he did make. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Corney. Mr. Corney, you also took this assignment, and the court appreciates your representation of your client. Thank you. Case will be taken.